I'm a huge planner. So whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but for some reason, they just won't go to sleep. And for this reason, I created the podcast Bedtime History. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. Join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I walked in and I had a hard drive filled with all of my music. He like took it, he listened to it, he threw my hard drive out the window, broke into a million pieces, not good enough, start again.
Musician, producer.
The body of work that this guy has produced or written.
Your list goes on and on and on.
Benny Blanco.
If you want to try to be like a musician, an entrepreneur, it's scary. If you're going to fail, who cares? The second I film, I'm like, the next day I wake up, I'm like, all right, let's do it again.
Hey everyone, I've got some huge news to share with you. In the last 90 days, 79.4% of our audience came from viewers and listeners that are not subscribed to this channel. There's research that shows that if you want to create a habit, make it easy to access. By hitting the subscribe button, you're creating a habit of learning how to be happier, healthier, and more healed. This would also mean the absolute world to me and help us make better, bigger, brighter content for you and the world. Subscribe right now.
The number one health and wellness podcast.
Jay Shetty.
Jay Shetty.
The one, the only Jay Shetty.
Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose, the number one health podcast in the world. Thanks to each and every one of you who come back every week to become happier, healthier, and more healed. You know that I love diving into the minds of people I find fascinating, to dive into how people are creative, how people become conscious, and how people create things that the world gets excited about. I think I've always been a student of life and a student of people's journeys. And here we get to go back in time and find out what those key moments were in people's lives. Today's guest is someone that I've been dying to have on the show. I'm so excited that he's here in the studio. I've been feeling his energy and vibe already. I'm excited to share it with you all. I'm speaking about the one and only Benny Blanco, record producer, songwriter, artist, actor, record executive, and cookbook author. I'll have you know, I'll tell you about that in a second. Benny has contributed to the sale of hundreds of millions of albums worldwide through his work with some of your favorite artists, including Ed Sheeran, SZA, Justin Bieber, Rihanna, Katy Perry, The Weeknd, Maroon 5, Juice WRLD, Sia, and many more. As a solo artist, Benny has released two albums, Friends Keep Secrets and Friends Keep Secrets 2, that have been streamed more than 11 billion times to date and have featured multiple platinum hits. Benny made his TV debut playing a fictionalized version of himself on the FFX series Dave with Little Dicky. If you haven't seen it, that episode's brilliant. Benny's most recent project is his first cookbook, Open Wide. You can get it right now. We'll be diving into that as well. Welcome to the show, Benny Blanco.
Wow, that was so cool. I want you to walk around with me all the time. Yeah, and say this. I get why you're the number one podcast for health. I was, when you were talking, I was, my jaw was dropped. I was just mesmerized by everything
Benny, I want to do the introduction now. Every time you go on stage, every time you're there, it has to be, you know.
I know, I got to come up with one for you. Yeah. I'd be like, perfect skin, beautiful eyes, wavy hair.
You're talking about yourself.
No, I'm talking about you,
baby. Same thing. We both got
curly
hair.
We're interchangeable.
We got curly hair. We got colored eyes. You got good skin.
Okay.
I love it. Benny, it's such a joy to have you here. And I'm excited to dive into everything that I was just talking about. But when I'm sitting with someone like you who, you know, creativity is at your fingertips, it's kind of embedded into your whole life. I'm always intrigued. What's your earliest childhood memory of being creative? Like, do you remember the first thing you put together? You were just telling me you even had this shirt made that you're wearing today. Like, what was one of the first things you remember saying, oh, wow, I did something as a kid?
Okay, here's what I really remember.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have the luxury of having, like, insane musical instruments at my fingertips and recording studios. And I was from the middle of nowhere. So, my brother had a boombox. An old school boombox, and I had a smaller old school boombox. And I remember my earliest memories at I'm probably like 5 or 6. And I remember realizing that music, you know, when I first heard music, I always thought that the musician was at the radio station singing the song. And I was like, how do they keep coming back to the station? And I didn't even understand how music was created. But somewhere very early, I figured out that it was like a multi-track situation. And I had a boombox, and I would record like me like hitting like this into the boombox, okay? Then I would press play on that one, and then I would do the next thing on the other boombox and record into that one. And I would keep going back and forth until I created like a track. I guess I was creating like my own like 8-track and multi-track of layering things. And I didn't even know what it was, but I was just so excited that I was doing it. And my whole career has been a version of that. Like I have no training. I'm not good at anything. I'm really like I know people are like, oh, you're being humble. I'm really not great at anything. I have like a ultimate will to get things done. Like I'm like, this will happen. but no, it's just I'm always trial and error. And I always tell people are always just like, well, how did you do this? How did you? And I'm like, honestly, like just going in and I call it making a mess. I like to go in and throw a bunch of shit around the room, throw paint at everything. And then we worry about cleaning it up later. But maybe a few of those things just happen to land correctly. And I just keep doing that until everything fully lands where I want it to. And I'm just playing cleanup around the sides.
That's a beautiful way of describing the process. But what gave you that? Where does that will or that confidence come from? Because I think a lot of people are scared of creating a mess or scared of things not sticking, so they never try. Whereas it sounds like you're the opposite, where you're like, well, I don't care if it doesn't try, I'm willing to give it a go. Where does that inner confidence, that inner ability to say, hey, it's okay, come from?
I don't care about failure at all. I don't care, and I never did. I think when I was younger, I didn't understand what failure was. Like when you're, you know, when you're 6, when you're 7, when you're 12, there's not many people to let down. You know what I mean? You let down Timmy at school. He's your friend. Sorry, Timmy. But you're not thinking about that. And I just remember from the beginning, like my mom was like, I wanted to drop out of school. And, you know, my mom was raising me alone. And I was probably 15, 16 at the time. And I was like, Mom, I know what I want to do. She's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, the music stuff. Like, I'm so into it. And I know. And I looked at her and I go, I know I'm going to be the biggest in the world. Mm. And she was just like, what are you talking? You know, and I've asked my mom, like, later in life, like, how did you, like, trust me in my journey? And she always said that she had dreams that she never got to try in her life. And a lot of people are just way too scared to take the jump. You know, a lot of people may have, I'm sure everyone in this room, anyone listening, has a little something where they're like, oh, I really like that. Mm-hmm. But they're scared. They're scared. They're like, you know, I want to post videos of me cooking online. Nah. No one will like it. My friends will make fun of me. I sing in the shower. Like, I want, no. Because we're taught to just follow suit and do whatever you're supposed to do. You report to your boss, but it doesn't have to be like that. Like, if you want to try to be like a musician, an entrepreneur, whatever, it's scary. And like, I'm sure you've had moments like that where you're like, yo, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. But if you do try, I believe that if you keep pushing yourself and you keep trying, you're going to succeed. And I always tell people this, it may not be in what you start with, you know? Like, when I started, I thought I was going to be the biggest rap artist in the world. And am I a rapper now? No. And then I moved into producing, and then I moved into songwriting, and then it's come full circle now where I'm like an artist of some sorts again. And I think you just jump in and just try something, just try. And who cares if you're gonna fail? Who cares if you fail? I don't understand. That's the thing I don't understand. It's just, you just get up and you do it again. I have amnesia the second I fail. The second I fail, I'm like, the next day I wake up, I'm like, all right, let's do it again, you know?
That's an amazing mindset. So we share something in common already. We both grew up wanting to be famous rappers.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
No.
That was like my passion, like poetry, spoken word, writing lyrics. Like, all I listened to was hip hop and rap growing up. Like, if you asked me at 16 years old what I wanted to be, that's what I wanted to be. And it's so interesting because today I feel I use the same skills that I wanted to use then, but in a completely different way. Yeah. I still write. I write books instead of records. Yeah. I teach meditation, which includes music. It includes cadence. It includes rhyme often, but not in the way that a rapper would. And I'm using spoken word constantly to get messages out into the world, but in a different way. And so I love what you just said about that idea of how you actually may succeed, but in a way completely different to what you originally dreamed of.
I hope it goes full circle for you. I want to hear, I need to hear the Jay Shetty rap tape. What was your rap name?
Oh God, I don't know if I need to go that far.
Okay.
It was embarrassing, but I'll tell you later.
Okay,
I'll tell you privately. Yeah,
tell me later.
I'll tell you privately.
Is Jay Shetty your real name?
Yes.
That's the perfect rap.
Is it?
Name. Yeah, Jay Shetty sounds like a fire rapper.
Really?
Yeah, from like East London.
Okay, I'm from North London, so not far.
All right.
Yeah, not far. Okay, cool, I like it. I like it, but no, I really appreciate what you're saying there. And I think that amnesia to failure, wow, like I love that idea of having amnesia with failure. Can you give me a time, was that always the case, or was there a failure that like did kind of pierce that veil? It never has, I can see from your face.
No, I remember when I was going to quit music one time, right before I made it, my mentor passed away. He took his own life. And I was really young. It was one of my best friends. And I'm probably like 18. And I remember like sitting in my bed and I was like crying. I like didn't understand, you know, it was one of the first times that somebody who wasn't supposed to die died. You know, I've had like, you know, I had lost my grandmother and lost my grandfather, but it was like the first time in my life where like someone that like I really knew and really touched me, and I talked to them the day before they died. And it's like, I remember like that hitting me like so hard in a way that I didn't know was even possible. Like, you know, I'd been sad. But I remember sitting there in bed and I was just like, I'm just going to quit. I was like, I got to quit making music. And then in that very same moment, like my head flipped and I was just like, no, you can't. You got to like take on what this dude started. Because he was also a musician and he didn't get totally, he was well known and he was a hero to me, but he didn't get where I think he deserved to. And I remember being like, I gotta do this. Like, I got it. Like, he would want me to be doing this. And that was like the only time where it wasn't even failure. It was like the only time where I like really questioned things. But don't get me wrong. Every time I do something good in life, I'm questioning. But it's like a different feeling. I don't know if you have this, but I'll have a number one song, like a number one song. It's the biggest song in the whole world. And I'll like look in the mirror and I'll be like, oh, that's the last one. Like, definitely not gonna have another number one song again. Not saying I'm like scared of the failure. I'm just like, oh, that's just like the last one. That's what I did. Or something really good will happen in my life. And I'm like, oh, I'll never recreate that again. But in the same breath, I'm like, let's go. Like, I'm like, let's keep rolling, you know? And I've tried to do this thing lately in the last like 5 or 10 years where I really like take in my achievements. Cause for a while I never thought of them. I would just keep going. Like when it was time, they'd be like, oh, your song's number one. I'd be like, okay, that's cool. What are we doing next week? Mm. And I figured out like, it's okay to do that. It's okay to like take a breath and be like, yo, we just did this shit. Yeah. Like, this is tight. Like we did this. This is great. And yeah, I'm trying to do that more. And failure, like, no, I've never had one of those times, because whenever I do fail, I'll sit and I'll sit there and I'll be like, this didn't work how I wanted it to. But so many times have been the opposite where I was like, this will never work. And then it's big. So it's like, I feel like it always evens out. Yeah. And you only have one other choice. It's like, your only choice is just to keep going. What are you supposed to do? Just be like, oh, it didn't work. No, get up and you do it again.
Yeah, I've got so many questions. I want to dive into so much that you said. So rewinding with your mentor, how did you first, and I'm so sorry to hear, thank you for sharing with us, mm-hmm. you know, such a challenging event. And I lost my mentor 4 years ago. He passed away from stage 4 brain cancer during the pandemic. So I couldn't go back to see him because I couldn't take a flight. And so I couldn't be at his funeral. So, you know, that it was super rough for me. It was more recent, but how did you meet your mentor and how did you form a bond? I think a lot of successful people have mentors, they have guides, they have teachers, they have coaches. But then sometimes when you're listening to a conversation, you're like this, you're like, I want someone to be my mentor, but I don't know where to start. I don't know how to find them. Like, what does that mean? Like, how did you connect?
I've had so many mentors. I have mentors every day. I'm a mentor to people, but sometimes my mentees are my mentor. Like, I'm always... You always got to be open to just listening and learning. Every day I learn something. I was in the studio yesterday with a guy who was one of my mentees. Like the way I met, I got to tell you that story later. That's insane. I'll go to that. I'll tell that after. First one is I met my mentor. This is when he was like my second or third mentor. I met a lot of my really important mentors in my life when I was about 13. I was a musician. I was traveling for music at the time. I had gotten like some buzz and MySpace was a thing.
Yeah, okay? I remember MySpace.
And I had somehow created a profile where I had a bunch of followers, okay? So I don't even remember how I did it, but I was a kid. I used to do it in the library at school. And there was this guy, he was a producer. I was obsessed with him. Messaged him, the equivalent of DM today. Yeah. And I remember messaging him and I was like, I love your stuff, blah, 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 blah. And then no response. And I was like, oh, I love you. Like, please, blah, blah, blah. No response. Then I saw like a few weeks later, he was advertising. He was like, I have studio time available. It's like, you know, $500 or something. And I remember just being like, okay, the only way I'm going to meet this guy is if I get the studio time. So I say, I'm interested in the studio time. He says, great, come to New York and meet me here. He had no idea where I was. I drove to New York and we drove like 4 hours to New York. I get to New York, I get in with him. The first thing I say is I'm like, I don't really need studio time. I just want to talk to you. Please, I'll do anything. I just want to work with you. I'll do whatever you say. But then he was just like, this was insane. He said, I'm leaving this weekend. I need my studio booked the whole weekend. It's $850 for the 2 days. You need to book it. If you can book it, I'll let you work for me.
Wow.
I called every single person I know. I spent I had like a few $100. Then like I would like beg my friends for money. I had like a few rappers at the time that wanted studio time. And I like figured it out. And he was just like, he got back. I did it like, I just did it in the nick of time. And he was just like, all right, you can work. You start next week. And I would drive up every weekend from Virginia to work with him when I was like 16, 17. And we created this bond. And it was like he was tough on me. It was like he was like not an easy guy. Like I remember like I walked in and I had a hard drive filled with all of my music. Okay, everything I had been making. And he like took it. He listened to it. He ejected it. And then he threw it out the window. He threw my hard drive out the window, broke into a million pieces, no more hard drive. And he was like, not good enough, start again. What? And it was like, yeah, he was like super what? Sensei. It was like Karate Kid. And I like hated him in the moments for it. But he taught me so many things that like I learned. And taught me things not to do as a mentor. And like, and you know, it was a really special time. And now I just want to jump to this. Okay.
Yeah, please. Yeah, so, go on. I love it. Let it flow.
So I'm, you know, this is, I don't know, almost 10 years ago now, maybe 8 years ago. And I'm playing poker at a friend's house. And my friend puts me on her story, her Instagram story. And the next day she comes to me and she said, "Hey, my friend's son saw you on my story. And apparently you're like a big deal in music." And she was just like, "You have to have him come work for you." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Yeah, you have to have him come work for you." I was like, I don't need anyone else. I already have assistants, interns." And they were like, "No, you have to." And this lady is like there isn't really, you don't get to have a choice. So I was like, "All right, I'll meet him." So this kid comes in. He's 15 years old. He's like, like everything, like he's just so excited. And he like was so sweet. And he reminded me of me when I was a kid. He was like, "I'll do anything. I'll work for you, blah, blah, blah." I was like, "All right, come work for me." He comes and works for me. I still like am spending a lot of time in New York at the time. And so I don't see him. He's just like building a studio for me and has never even met me besides that one day. Wow. But he does it for like a year. Then like I finally come back to LA and I'm like, "All right, you ready to come into some recording studios?" And he was like, yeah, I'm so excited. So like, you know, first week, first three sessions, his first session is The Weeknd. His second session is Travis Scott. And like his third session was like Maroon 5. So it's like, he's getting thrown into it. So I remember we're at the first session and I'm just like, "Be cool, blah, blah." It's The Weeknd. And The Weeknd's in there and we're like all in a room and we're just like singing into microphones, like we're chilling. And he's like, I know his mind's blown. The Weeknd's his favorite artist at the time. And I remember when no one's looking, he like sneaks a picture and he accidentally has his flash on. Oh, so it goes, and it has the noise too. And so it was like, and when it did it, he went, "Ah," and he threw his phone. And somehow The Weeknd didn't notice. And like, I pulled him aside after and I'm like, "Dude, you can't do that." Blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, he's in high school. And I say, "Hey, I was in the middle of making Ed Sheeran's Divide album and I was producing the whole thing. And I was like, I need some help on the road. If I talk to your school and get you off, will you come?" And he was like, "Yeah, of course." Took him on the road for like 2 weeks. Mine was blown. Then, you know, he starts going to NYU School of Clive Davis School of Music. And I have another opportunity. I talk to his teachers. I take him on the road for like a month. We're on tour with Halsey. Then he's coming back to work for me now, okay? We've never talked about him making music at all. And we're sitting there one day. It's late at night. And he said, "My therapist said he's going to stop working with me if I don't play you my music." I said, "What do you mean you make music?" And he's like, yeah, I make music. I was like, "Why didn't you ever play it for me?" He's like, "I was so scared. I was trying to get better, blah, blah, blah." He plays me some songs. They're terrible. They're like, they're awful. But like, I can hear something in him. And I know he's so, you know, in music, so much of it is like getting an artist to feel comfortable, getting them to believe, getting them to, you know, so much of it is your personality. And he had that. He had the it factor. I saw when he was with like artists, he knew how to talk to them. He knew how to make them feel good, just like getting them food, everything. And, you know, he spent years just seeing how I did it with artists. And I decided to sign him. I was like, "I'm going to sign you." And he went on this journey and now he's one of the biggest music producers in the world. I mean, last year he won, you know, best record at the Grammys. He's had like 5 or 10 number one records.
Oh, that's
insane. It's like this guy started, he was so humble. He was 15 years old. Now he's like probably 26, 27. And he just went on the journey. He knew when his time was and he went in and he did it. And it was just like, I always tell people, you know, you just got to stick through it. You got to stick around, you know. And when I first signed him, it wasn't working for him. It took him like a few years for it really to like connect. And he's just like, it's such a fun story for me.
That's a brilliant story.
Yeah. And I've been fortunate enough to have that a few different times in my life with people. And it was so cool because I had that experience. And we're all, to pay it forward is just...
Yeah, the intern applications to the Benny Blanco School of Music just went through the roof. Now the amount of Reed's going to get hit up this whole week. And dude, I love that. No, it's beautiful to hear that. And also what I love about that message is when your mentor throws your hard drive outside the window, like it's so easy to be like, oh, I'm never going back.
He's
crazy. Like I'm never going back. Yeah. It's like whiplash.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like
that was my life. I was cleaning toilets with a toothbrush. Like that was my real life.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of when you were describing it. I felt exactly like that. I'm thinking, you know, but how do you show up again and recognize this value? Because I think now we're in a place as well where it's like, if something like that happened, we'd be like, oh no, get out of there. I know.
It did change a little bit. Like
you wouldn't do that. That's what I mean. You wouldn't throw someone's hard drive.
No, I would never do those type of things. I'm just not that type of person. I'm not like a yelling person. That's not my way of communication. Like if I was like sad about something, I'd be like, man, I think it's like probably almost worse. Like I'm like, I'd be like, why'd you do that? You know what I mean?
I go quiet.
Yeah. Or I'd be like, you know, if you're ever like in an argument in a relationship, like I'm not a yeller. I'm like, I wish it was different. And I can't even find the words usually at the beginning. Yeah. And I think that's how I am. And I think like, I really learned that you don't have to do that stuff. It worked for me. It got me to where I am, but it's like, you can be really positive. You can be a good influence on someone. You don't have to like, you can be hard on someone. Like I'm definitely like, I was definitely hard on the guy I was talking about, Blake. I was tough on him, but I was never like, I would never be mean. I would never like, there's no reason to do that. And what made me keep going back? I don't know. Sheer just will and drive like that. That's like, I just was like, that's what they're trying to do. They want me to quit. They want me to, you know, and like, I don't know. I don't know why I do it. And I wonder, you know, sometimes I sit in bed and I'm like, why am I still working like so hard? Like I still work like I've never done a thing in my life. Like I'm still wake up every morning. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do this. Then I'm gonna do this. And then I swear I'm gonna get this thing. And I always, that's why I try to do different things that I'm not necessarily great at but that I don't have, you know, in music, I can go in, I can work with anyone, I can do this. But like, yeah, like making a cookbook, being in a TV show, I've never done these things. So it's like very interesting to me to start at the bottom again and just like try to work my way up.
Yeah.
It's fun. I love the climb. Like that's my favorite part about life.
Yeah.
Even everything, like in a relationship, when you meet that person at the very beginning and it's like, oh, I gotta like make my way into their heart and they have to make their way into mine. And it's just all about, I don't know, getting there is always the best. And then when you're there, I'm just like, all right. What else can I want to get some, you know what I mean? Like, when you're like, you know, you do the music stuff and you get there and you're like, I think the only thing where you get there and it just keeps getting better is in a relationship with someone. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the only time you get there and you're like, okay, this is cool. Like, but when every other time I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, let's go.
On Purpose with Jay Shetty is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Many of you know that one of the most important aspects of my life is my connection with others. Travel has become one of the best ways for me to connect with people, whether that be my community, my family, friends, or loved ones, or all of you. Most of my family lives outside of the US, so traveling around the holidays, birthdays, or other special occasions is something that we're accustomed to. As we grow older, oftentimes our families or loved ones end up living in different areas as us, making it challenging to get together due to various schedules and commitments. With Booking.com, I'm able to efficiently book travel and accommodations for everyone in my family so that we can spend quality time together. They also make it easy to book travel for the various types of travelers in my family, so that each person in my family can authentically be the traveler they want to be, no matter the destination. Once a year, my family takes a trip together to a US destination where none of us live or are visited. We find this helpful in making sure that everyone is truly present and able to unplug from their normal routines, resulting in more meaningful conversations and connections. Experiencing new places with those close to you allows you to bond over a shared experience. Booking.com's breadth and variety of accommodations in the US has made the destination selection and booking process not only easy, but fun. Travel can also foster new connections. Visiting different cities has allowed me to build connections with all of you, my community, most of whom I've never met in person and otherwise would have not crossed paths with. The in-person relationships that are built and strengthened through travel is something that each of us can benefit from. Book whoever you want to be on booking.com, booking.yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/onpurpose to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/onpurpose. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Have you had a moment where you realized you shouldn't have listened to your guts? I remember a lot of times when I was driving and trusted my gut and decided to take a shortcut only to get stuck in traffic or lost in an unfamiliar area. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. They created Synbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement including clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support the relief of mild and occasional bloating, gas, and diarrhea. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on your stomach. So whether I'm taking it first thing in the morning to kickstart my day or winding down at night, I know that I'm giving my gut the support it needs to thrive. There's no more shame in your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off.
What do you think makes relationships different that makes you feel that way as opposed to music? Or anything else, any other achievement, not music.
Well, I've never been in a relationship the way that I've been in one with music because it's been like a 30-year relationship. So I have no idea what happens 30 years from now in a relationship. But I just feel like in a relationship is like all these other things I'm doing. There's so many like tentacles. Like it's like you go this way and then you guys explore that together. And you're exploring so many. It's basically anything I would explore in my life, I'm exploring with a partner. And so it's like figuring out, like you guys are like figuring out things together. And it's so cool when you have like a partner that like, I don't know. Like I just get the feeling like, It's awesome when you can have a partner that you look at and it's like the end of the day and you're like, oh, what did you do today? And they tell you and you're like, that's so tight. Like, and you're like, I want to do more. Like when you can feed off of each other and just keep growing together, it's like every day is a new experience and you guys are like facing different things together. And it's, I don't know, it's cool. And I always tell my friend, I was just talking to my friend yesterday about this. I was like, you always have to keep your work and life balance. And I was like, because You can feel it in the music and art if you don't have love or you don't have something. So I always tell them, I always feel that it's just like this. I have like rules, like every day, like I only work till like a certain time. Mm-hmm. I make sure I, you know, like cooking is very important to me and therapeutic. So I make sure I do that. Like it's like Xanax to me. Like I have like all my things that I have to do to make that bound because I do push myself. I shove my head through that wall, just that drywall if I had to. But at the same time, I try to do all the things. It's like, okay, like every, you know, it's like every Sunday I see my mom no matter what. Every single Sunday at the exact same time. It doesn't matter if I like stay up all night. I'll just go right into seeing her. And it's just like we have like a ritual we do. And then I have like my ritual where I go and get my groceries at the farmer's market every weekend. And there's just all these things that help keep you on track and grounded so you can keep doing what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you have things like that for yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, mine's similar. I call my mom at the same time every week because she's back in London,
where
I was born and raised. And so I have the same time I call her on the weekend. And there's certain things that have to be done that way. And same with you. And, you know, I have a certain time as well that I switch off from work and I'm not looking at my phone. I have a time in the morning. Mm-hmm. I have like 3 hours of being awake before I'm doing any work.
And
I have to take that time for myself. But what's interesting about what you're saying is that there's a myth, obviously, that the brokenhearted artist can pour into the music. But you're actually saying that if you have love in your life, that can also be felt through music.
Yeah, I think that at times it's good to have a broken heart, but it's also good. You know, there's a time and place for everything. What time you wake up?
I wake up now at 5:30 a.m.
What time did you wake up before?
Usually it was like, this year has been different. This year I've been really prioritizing 5:30, but up until last year, it's probably like 6 to 6:30.
And what time do you go to bed?
I go to bed at like 9 p.m. now.
Really?
Yeah, I love my 8 hours of sleep. So if I get into bed at 9, I'll be out by 9:15.
Okay.
And then if I wake up at 5:30, I've had like 8 hours and 15 minutes of sleep. Like it's
what crazy. Are you doing? What are you doing in those first 3 hours?
Meditating for a lot of it. So I'll wake up at 5:30. I'll be ready to sit down for meditation by like 5:45. I'll meditate for an hour and a half. And then 7:15, I'll go for a hike or go to the gym or, usually a hike or the gym from 7:15 till about 8:15, 8:30, get ready. And then 9 a.m., I'll take my first emails, meetings, all that kind of stuff. So I think you came at 10 today. So,
Hour and a half.
11.
Hour and a half is, that's a good meditation. Hour and a half, how do you even stay focused?
Well, I think it's a good question. And I always say to people that when I started, it wasn't 1.5 hours. Like you start up with doing like 7 minutes, and then 20 minutes, and then 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. And what I found was just in the same way as if you go to a trainer at the gym, you'd hope that they work out more than you. Yeah. So as someone who teaches meditation and helps people with mindfulness, I believe that as a trainer and as a coach, I have to do it for more time and deeper time because otherwise, if I'm only doing it for 7 minutes and I'm mentoring you and you're only doing it for 7 minutes, then how will I ever have an experience to guide you deeper?
Yeah.
And so I've been doing that since I was 18 now. So it's been a long time. And when I was a monk for 3 years, it was longer. And that's where I got that deepest experience of practice for it. So I feel like if I didn't have those 3 years of going really deep into the practice, I may not have the focus I have today.
You were a monk?
For 3 years,
A real monk?
A real monk,
That's insane.
Yeah.
I've never met a monk.
I'd love to show you pictures.
I've never even met a monk.
Yeah, I'd love to show you. I'm not anymore, but
How long?
When, so you still haven't met a monk.
When was this?
So this was 2010 to 2013, and I was a monk across India, UK, and Europe. I traveled between the three, and I had a shaved head. I wore robes. I slept on the floor. We meditate for like 4 to 8 hours sometimes a day. And so it was a deeper practice. Yeah.
Standard 8 hour meditation is crazy.
Yeah.
When do you do anything else?
Well, sometimes you didn't. That was the point.
Like, an 8 hour meditation is wild.
Yeah,
isn't that sleeping?
I mean, you can count it as the same thing. We sleep for 8 hours. So.
The hardest part for me with meditating is that I instantly fall asleep. I can fall asleep very easily.
So I'll tell you why though. The reason why that happens during meditation or any practice of that sort is your body and mind are finally coming into sync. And so it's your body saying, I need sleep right now.
Yeah.
And so if you're falling asleep during meditation, it's not a bad thing. It's just you've literally, because what's happening when you're not falling asleep is your mind saying, we got to do more.
Yeah, we got to do more.
And then finally, when you become present, you fall asleep because your body's saying, I've done enough today.
Wait, where do you do these meditations?
I have a little meditation room. I'll take you to afterwards. At our home. Yeah,
I want to do a meditation with you.
All right, we'll do it. Yeah.
I want to learn. I've done it. There was like a time in my life when I was going through a rough patch, and then like, you know, I was going to therapy and I was meditating and stuff, and it actually helped me so much.
Yeah, wow.
It helped me.
What was that during? What were you going through?
When everything first started happening for me all at once, it was like really overwhelming. I was, you know, for the first like year or two, I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then like it really hit me because, you know, so many different responsibilities and people asking you for money. And like, I just didn't grow up in a way like I had never, I didn't even imagine, you know, I was young when I made it. So I was like, I didn't even realize about like money. And then I'm like, oh my God, I have this, what do I do with it? Like, and then it's like, I have all this success and people need things from me and people want, and it was just too much. And where I grew up, like, I didn't go to therapy as a kid. I didn't know about any of that. I didn't know what anxiety was. I was like, oh, everyone, the room spins for everyone when you like sit down and you're like doing something. There were so many things I didn't understand. And I thought it was just my body and I never talked to anyone about it. And I was like, oh, there were just things like I learned to live with. And I remember like, I just remember exactly where I was. I was like walking in to get a new cell phone. I lost my mind and I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I remember like a week later, I went home to Virginia where my mom was living at the time. And I remember I was like in the bathroom and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I had this crazy feeling of anxiety that was like crippling, and it was like I couldn't do anything. And I was just like, I was like in the bathtub, and I remember like calling for my mom, I was crying, and I was like, I don't know, I can't do this, I don't know what to do. I can't even explain the feel. I didn't know how to articulate the words. I was like, I can't even explain what I'm feeling to you. I feel like I'm going crazy. And you know, in my family, you know, there's some people have some issues, and I was always scared of myself falling into some similar things that are in my family, that run in my family. And I just remember somebody got me to go to therapy, and I met this guy, and he's my therapist today, still to this day. He's been my therapist for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I remember like I first went there and I had like all these things. I was like, I used to like go and I'd have to like hold my head like this. And I was like, well, I can't let go of my arm, because if I let go of my arm, my neck's going to fall off and I'm going to be paralyzed. Like I had like crazy, like I was so in deep and I never thought I was going to get out. And I remember I used to go 6 days a week, and then it was like 3 days a week. Then it was 2 days. Then it was one. And it was CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's like kind of like a type of therapy where you use your words. And I didn't want to do medicine, and I didn't, you know, because I also had in my family, there's some drug abuse and stuff. And I was like, I don't want to do this with medicine. I want to figure out how to do it the right way. And at that time I wasn't, now I'm like a workout fanatic. That's like my new meditation.
Nice.
But before that I was like, well, how do I do this? And I started, you know, my therapist recommended meditation to me, and he had this really easy way of doing it, and it was so easy, and it wasn't even like anything specific. He was like, just, you know, he would just like, it was the most basic form of meditation. I would do it with either with a spoken word thing, or just like, he'd be like, find the most calming music you like. And he would just be like, no matter what, just every day, he was like, for 20 to 30 minutes, just sit down, put a pillow on your head, try not to be too comfy where you'll fall asleep, set a timer, and just do it. Mm. And I remember doing it, and at first it was impossible. When I was like in my shit, it was impossible. And then eventually I started like looking forward to that time every day.
Yeah.
And it really just helped me a lot. And then like in 2018, and then I got like, it was probably like a year or so of, and this was probably 2009, maybe this was happening. And then like, then I like got back on track and everything was great. And then in 2018, I really like working out became like my new meditation.
Oh, wow.
Like, and it was just like I have to do it. And it was so funny because I went so many years without doing it. And I'm sure in your life, you went years without doing meditation. And now like what happens if you randomly, do you ever miss one ever? Like just like, I'll catch up.
I don't meditate at 5:30 every day. Like it's not, I can't keep that up because I'm on planes, we're traveling.
Yeah.
Like our lifestyles don't allow it. And so I will be meditating in the evening.
What happens?
The quality. Well, I find that for me, the quality dips. So the last week was one of those weeks. I had like three massively late nights in a row on the weekend because of events and parties and things that I was going to. And I couldn't wake up early. And then I still had a full day of work. And then in the evening, I was catching up with it. And I found that I didn't have the time and space that I need in order to feel really aligned. And what I mean by that is I can still operate. No one else will really notice the difference, but I notice the difference where I'm like, I feel like I have less energy today. I feel like I have less clarity today. And I feel like I'm not as aligned is the best word I can think of, as I like to be. And so it doesn't really affect anyone else, but it does affect me.
Yeah.
And I know what level I can raise to, which is what you're probably saying when you're working out. Like when you miss a day of working out, how do you feel now?
Yeah, yeah. I you know, I thought of something when you were saying.
Yeah, please.
So you're seen as like, you know, this guy who's like mindfulness, health, this, like, a, isn't it, aren't you sometimes, do you feel like I have to be so perfect all the time?
You know, it's so interesting you say that, Benny. I used to think that when I started out, that that's what I had to be. And then I've let go of that pressure personally. Like I let go of that. And I'm just, like I'm saying to you now, I don't wake up every day at 5:45 to meditate. Sometimes I'm meditating on planes, in Ubers, on trains. Sometimes I'm doing it while I'm falling asleep. Like I'm okay with opening up about that because to me, that, A, I hope, well, A, it's the truth. B, I hope that that actually helps people realize that they don't have to have the perfect regime every single day.
Yeah.
Because I used to think that, and all I did was put more pressure on myself.
Yeah,
I'd stress myself out. So I'm more comfortable today saying, I believe in meditation. I value mindfulness. I value all these things, but it doesn't look perfect in my life.
Yeah.
And it won't in yours either.
Yeah.
And it doesn't in anyone's. Whoever's life we think it looks perfect in is a myth.
Yeah, sometimes you get upset. Like if you get, like you're like a guy who's like not allowed to get upset. Like something happens. Like it's, you know, I find that sometimes.
What do you know, Benny? What are you trying to say?
Yeah, exactly. No, I find sometimes in work, like, you know, when you get to the top of like your field, people are only expecting like a perfect rec. Like if you're like, say you're like LeBron James, like if you don't have, if you score like 20 instead of like 40 in the game, they're like, oh, what's happening to LeBron? You know? And it's this like, it's this pressure that I know exists for people. And I just wanted to know.
Yeah, I definitely have felt that pressure. And I think I've removed it from myself. Mm-hmm. That's what I realized, that ultimately it was a pressure I was putting on myself. It wasn't actually from anyone else. It was me thinking. Whereas if I was just honest and transparent and authentic with people, then all of a sudden the pressure's off.
Yeah.
And I can also be a human because I am one.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much more of a joy in embracing our imperfections and flaws and recognizing that. It's even with coaching people, by the way, and I'm sure you feel this with music, like when you working with a artist to produce their album is like what I do with coaching clients. So coaching clients come to me and say, hey, can we solve this problem? Whatever else it may be. Someone's coming to you saying, hey, Benny, can you make this album with me? And before I used to think, God, if I don't say something profound in the first hour of meeting someone, then they're not going to think I'm worthy or valuable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I started to realize, I was like, that blocked me from saying something worthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't allow me to be a channel or a vessel. Yeah, yeah. I was now forcing some manufactured version.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if I did, now I was just setting myself up for more pressure every time we met, rather than just having a flowing exchange with someone. How do you feel like when an artist comes and says, hey, Benny, I want you to produce my whole album, where was the time it switched from pressure to just flow?
I never had pressure because I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I treat every experience, like I'll be like this. You know, some people, when you get in the studio or something, or you're on a TV set or you're on here, they're just like, oh, we got to get it all done. We have to get this done today. We have to. For me, I'm just as happy if we were to come in. Like if I came into this podcast today and you're like, hey, I'm sorry, like the equipment's not working. Then I'd be like, oh, let's just like chill, walk around your thing. Because that's what was meant to happen that day. And I'm not stressing because you know what? Eventually we'll get like an interview or eventually we'll get a song or, you know, I'm a big like procrastinator in work. Like when someone comes over, I'm like, you like to eat? What do you want to eat? You want to eat something? I'll eat something. All that stuff is part of it. It's part of what's going to happen later. You know what I'm saying? You like, let's say you have a client, someone like you're trying to get to the bottom or the root of a problem. You're going to have to disarm them and get them to chill.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's not going to happen through anything else. What's your, do you have a setup process for every person, or do you really go with the flow with each individual?
This stuff got caffeine in it.
It has natural caffeine from tea.
I'll take a sip of it.
Yeah.
It's green tea. Green tea is really caffeinated, right?
Yeah, it's natural.
You drink caffeine?
Only in the tea form. Yeah.
I don't drink coffee.
As in like, I drink herbal tea and I drink this tea, but I don't.
That's good.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. My wife and I put it together. It's all natural.
Go buy his drink. How'd you come up with the name?
It stands for just you and I. So it was a way of trying to bring people together through sharing a moment. How's the caffeine hitting? Is it all right?
I'm taking little sips. I don't drink caffeine at all.
Yeah. Neither do I, apart from tea. So
yeah, I don't drink. I'm not like a caffeine person. I wake up and I'm like ready to rip.
Me too.
I wake up, I like pop out of bed.
What time do you wake up?
Early.
Yeah?
Yeah, like 6. What? Usually 6:10 to 6:30.
Yeah. What gets you in the creative zone? Like you're always like cooking. Like let's talk about Open Wide for a second. Like creativity, I think people look at you and they think, oh, he's musically creative, but then the rest of his life must be.
Yeah.
But no, it's like you're creative in cooking, you're creative in music. Obviously, you're talking about relationships can be creative too. Like, is it just something that was cooking always a passion?
Yeah, it's just like, do you cook at all or no?
So I'm the exact opposite. Cooking, kitchens and cooking scares me. My wife is a plant-based chef and recipe developer.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, this is all she does.
What has she always cooked?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She's loved it since she was, and she's a dietitian and nutritionist as well.
What's her name?
Radhi. Radhi's her name. R-A-D-H-I, Radhi.
And, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to see it. I'm obsessed with all that. One of my friends, the person who I wrote my book with, her name's Jess. She has like she's predominantly like a plant-based chef, and she worked for Martha Stewart for years.
Wow.
And she's incredible. And it's funny, like my books are always crazy. I eat very healthy unless I'm being like a naughty boy.
what's naughty? How bad's naughty?
Oh, naughty is like you wake up and there's crumbs and glaze all over you. You don't even know what it is. But mostly during the week, you know, because I lost a lot of weight. I lost like 50 pounds.
Wow. Consciously.
Yes. Yeah. Now, you know, honestly, at the beginning, I was going into a weight loss challenge because my brother had gained a bunch of weight. And then when I went and we like did the DEXA scan thing, I was 33% body fat. And I was like, well, am I fat? And I just didn't even know that I was being unhealthy. And then like, that's when I started working out and I got obsessed with it. And it was like, I wasn't necessarily trying to lose weight, but then like once I did, I was like, whoa, this is cool. And I'm one of those people now, like when I lost the first weight, it wasn't trying to lose weight. It was just like trying to be healthy. And then I felt like the feeling every time I went to the gym, I was like, whoa, I have no anxiety. Like after, and I'm not thinking about anything else except like what's happening. And that was very rare for me. So I was like, I gotta chase this feeling. And then now I like, you know, me and my friends, we do like little like weight loss challenges. We're like, okay, whoever can lose the most weight in like 1 month or whoever can do this. I like to challenge my body.
Yeah,
and
out
my
of your mind. Comfort zone.
Yeah, I like to just like push myself in any way possible. But yeah, no, I do you eat pretty healthy?
Yeah, very, yeah.
Well, because of her, right?
Because of her. Exactly.
If otherwise, you'd be like.
Before I met her, it was like pizzas at midnight, burgers, fries. Yeah. Like, that's my favorite food.
What are you guys eating today? Obviously, like, what'd you eat today?
What did I have in the morning? I had like avocado mushroom toast in the morning.
And did you make it or she did?
No, she did. Yeah,
if she's not in town, do you
then
ever
I'm
cook?
I'm ordering in, but I'm ordering healthy.
You're ordering healthy because you're scared she might be filming you or watching.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually, I'll say to my team, I'll be like, guys, just so you know, let's order this because my wife's not around.
You'll be a little nod.
She's been a good influence on me because before I met her, I was addicted to sugar. I was addicted to chocolates and
ice
creams.
Some people have that.
I had a massive, because of my mom.
Yeah, I don't have the sweet tooth.
That's lucky, man. That's
one
of the
worst.
I'd
much rather like a huge slice of bread or a taco. I really like one bite of a dessert. Like I always want.
You're like my wife. That's
yeah, I always want one bite. Like at the end of the day, like I'll always have like a date or something or like a piece of fruit. Like I love that, but like I don't like the, I don't know, like occasionally like a cookie or something if it's not too sweet. I don't like really sweet things. They make my stomach hurt.
Right.
So I like, there's a few. Like I like, what's that thing when it's like meringue, pavlova.
Oh, right.
Because it's not too sweet and it's like light. Pavlova makes me.
How did you curb your cravings for things you love? Like when you're doing a challenge, how do you curb your cravings?
I just shut it off. I love a challenge.
Right.
Just any challenge. If someone's like, I bet you can't walk 25 miles right now. I'm like, yes, I can. And I'll do it. Like, I love that feeling of doing something.
And you have a group of people that you
and
do.
I do it with my friends.
Yeah.
I work out with my friends. If I didn't have a trainer, I only pay. The only reason I see a trainer is because I'm so crazy that I would be like, oh, I can't waste the money.
Yeah.
Like, so I gotta go. But if it was just up to me, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do
same.
It. I wouldn't be able to do it. It's just that someone's, you know, or my friends are like, let's go to the gym. We got to go together and we work out together. And I like, you know, coming back to food, I like anything. I love community. I love hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I love like there's nothing better to me than like creating like an experience for people. I don't care what the medium is, like creating some experience where like when someone leaves, they're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And they're telling all their friends. And like, for me,
same.
It's just like, you're, you know, this is like, looking to give someone an orgasm face at all times, like every moment, like it, because that's what it is. It's when someone tastes your food, they just like open their mouth and they put it in. You just want them to be like, like you just want that feeling that when someone plays a song, you want them to be like, oh my God, that thing is crazy. You know, like after you like change someone's life and they can do a meditation where they can like put their leg behind their head, they're just like, oh, thank you. You brought me to a higher sense of being. Like it's, that's what we're looking for.
Yes.
And I'm always looking to make my friends happy. I'm always, you know, if someone comes to my house and they have like, you know, a hamburger and they're like, I love this. This is my favorite hamburger. I know that. So then I'm thinking like the next time they come, I'm like, oh, I'm going to like make sure they
beautiful.
Have that for them. And you know, my grandma, when I was a kid, one of my grandmas, she, you know, she was not wealthy by any means. She grew up in it, like, you know, her place was in Section 8 housing and we would go visit her. And she had a lot of grandkids. And if we went over there and one time we like had a Junie and we were like, we love this. It would be there every time we ever went. And she had so many grandkids. So everyone had every single thing. And she would, you know, she wouldn't eat for the week to make sure that like everyone had their things. And because it made her so happy, the joy she would have when everyone was coming in and all the things were there. We'd be like, oh, she has this. And that's what I like to do. And I love to create like, whether it's like the perfect napkin, the perfect like meal, the perfect music playing at the same time. Like, you know, and that's what I did with this book. I was like trying to teach people how to have like the perfect dinner party.
That's brilliant.
Because I was like, okay, you know, some people, they might not know what to do. Like you're nervous in the kitchen. This book is going to make it so like surefire way. You want something easy that looks good? Great. You want to have a dinner party? Like, do you know what type of wine to serve? I don't know. Do you want to smoke weed with your people? Does weed make you anxious? Who knows? Is it midnight and you want everyone to leave because you got to wake up at 5:30 the next day, but you still want them to love you? I'm going to teach you how to kick them out, you know? And it's just like,
I love that.
It's that whole thing. And it's just like that moment of just like getting a bunch of people together. And I love getting the people together that don't necessarily go together.
Yeah.
And it's like someone is like a musician and they're sitting next to a man who wrote a book. And I mean, one time we were at my house and I remember I was, my mother was sitting here and SZA was sitting here, and a man on the other side actually makes rocket ships that go to space. And to me, it was just so cool to see them all talking and not caring about, you know, what was going on. And there was no egos, and there was, everyone's just having a good time. And food is like the best social lubricant in the world because it's like, you can immediately talk about something. You're like, oh, you like food? It's just like the automatic conversation starter.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time you come over, we're going to have to do food for sure. Because yeah, that's, it's a big love language for my wife. She loves, she always says, that's her love language.
I want to cook with
her.
She wants
to, yeah, you guys would have a blast. She loves cooking, creating recipes, and also same with you, creating community. And it's actually funny you say that. I'm trying to think of a book that you just reminded me of that was based on a restaurant that did that. And they recently converted it. It became 11 Madison Park in New York. And it was a restaurant that tried to give that level of care.
That's
and
so cool.
That you feel in a home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so open wide your book. I love that it's not just a cookbook. I love that it's,
no, it's
about
all
how to
of
build
that.
Community. And
it's
how to,
all of that.
Because I think that's what people miss out on, right? We think that hosting is about all the fancy stuff. Mm-mm. And it's like, it isn't. It's Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you're not just getting a point of sale system, you're gaining a powerhouse partner that seamlessly integrates your in-person and online sales. Engage with shoppers both in-store and online with marketing tools designed for platforms like TikTok and Instagram. When it comes to hardware, Shopify's got you covered. Whether you want to take payments on your phone, turn your tablet into a checkout station, or grab Shopify's POS Go Mobile gadget, they've got options that fit your style. Plus, award-winning assistance is always just a click or call away, ensuring your journey to success is backed by expert guidance every step of the way. With Shopify, do retail right. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/J, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/J to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/J. On Purpose with Jay Shetty is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Many of you know that one of the most important aspects of my life is my connection with others. Travel has become one of the best ways for me to connect with people, whether that be my community, my family, friends, or loved ones, or all of you. Most of my family lives outside of the US, so traveling around the holidays, birthdays, or other special occasions is something that we're accustomed to. As we grow older, oftentimes our families or loved ones end up living in different areas as us, making it challenging to get together due to various schedules and commitments. With Booking.com, I'm able to efficiently book travel and accommodations for everyone in my family so that we can spend quality time together. They also make it easy to book travel for the various types of travelers in my family, so that each person in my family can authentically be the traveler they want to be, no matter the destination. Once a year, my family takes a trip together to a US destination where none of us live or are visited. We find this helpful in making sure that everyone is truly present and able to unplug from their normal routines, resulting in more meaningful conversations and connections. Experiencing new places with those close to you allows you to bond over a shared experience. Booking.com's breadth and variety of accommodations in the US has made the destination selection and booking process not only easy, but fun. Travel can also foster new connections. Visiting different cities has allowed me to build connections with all of you, my community, most of whom I've never met in person and otherwise would have not crossed paths with. The in-person relationships that are built and strengthened through travel is something that each of us can benefit from. Book whoever you want to be on booking.com, booking.yeah.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening.
To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthier happens together. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
It's not about any of that. The food, you know, my godfather always said this thing. He would always say, you know, when I was a kid, I never even understood it, but I so understand it now. He always used to say, we'd always figure out where we were going to dinner. And he goes, it doesn't matter. It's about the wrap.
Yeah.
And we were like, what do you mean? He's like, it's just about the wrap. He's like, the only thing, it's just to get everyone together. If the food's great, that's awesome. But it's about hanging with your friends, laughing till you cry, you know, falling in love with someone. You know, I've had the opportunity to have dinners where like so many things have happened to people. You know, someone's found the person they date. Somebody's, you know, started a company. Somebody's laughed so hard they cry, you know, and it's that's what I'm trying to do. And I love, do you ever have dinners with people? And
well, it's one of my favorite things to host as well. Yeah.
It's my favorite thing to do. Yeah. I don't want to go out to a nightclub.
No, I want to
like sit at home with my friends till 2 a.m. Well, for you, you can't do that.
I can do that.
Now what happens? Yeah. What happens if you stay up late? Do you you combust?
No, not at all, man. I can stay up late. I just choose not to always do it because I love sleep.
Okay, when you were out late this weekend, what time were you out?
Yeah, probably getting to bed around 1 or 2.
Okay, and then what time do you sleep till?
Oh no, the problem was I was still waking up because my body clock's so wired that I was still up at the same time.
No matter what, I wake up at like 6 a.m.
That's what
no
I
matter
mean,
when
yeah.
I go to bed.
Yeah,
I don't go to bed as early as you though.
Yeah,
I'm like if in my dream world I go to bed at like 11:30, 12,
right.
And then I wake up at like
in real world
6:30, and then on the weekends I really don't sleep a lot. But I don't need a ton of sleep. But that's I know good, I'm sure you're going to say that's terrible for me.
No, not at all, man. I'm not going to say anything's terrible. If it works for you, it works for you.
But you should. I should be getting more sleep, right?
I mean, scientists say 7 to 9 hours a day.
What else do scientists say?
Exactly. I don't know. But that's what I'm saying.
My whole family.
I need 8. I know I need 8 and I can survive on, I can do fine on 6 or 5 if I needed to.
Like 6.5 is my like.
Is your sweet spot?
Yeah, chef's kiss. Anything over 7, I feel strange.
That's good though, but then don't follow it. 7, like don't push it. I think that's a big part of it too, right? It's like, my wife talks a lot about this idea of being able to listen to your body. And I feel like so many of us are like, God, I got to wake up at 5:30 now because Jay said he wakes up at 5:30, or I got to wake up at 4 because Elon Musk wakes up at 4, or, you know, Benny said he wakes up at 6:10. So, whatever it is. And it's like, well, creativity is not based on those things.
Yeah,
that's just what works for your body and your mind. This is what works for my body and my mind. So I think, you know, but you seem to have a lot of like, not just community, but you seem to have like a lot of the same people around you, loyal friends. Like seems to be a big part of your, how have you continued to be able to build that as you grow and make it? It sounds like all your friends love challenges and growth, because a lot of people who are listening sometimes feel their friends are not wanting to grow. They're not wanting to try new things.
But like, it's so fun. You do it. Some people I've pushed to that, and some people have pushed me in other ways. And like, that's what it's all about. You know, to me, I've just had some of my friends for so long, because it's hard to find people that are on your, and I think it's harder and harder as you get older. You know, a lot of my friends, most of my friends I knew since I was young. And then I have like, you know, like a new friend for me is like 5 years. Like I'd be like, whoa, yeah, this is like one of my new friends. Like most of my friends are 8, 10, 20, you know.
And do they live in the city too or no?
All different places. Some of my friends are like, some of my friends have very regular jobs and you know, some of them I only get to see once or twice a year in person because of their job, you know. My friend was just out here. He comes every year for, you know, like a month and a half towards the end of the year because he's a therapist and he works, you know, in Virginia and he can't really travel that much. So then we get to see each other then. And then, you know, my other friend, his wife is becoming a doctor and they've had to have residencies in all these other places. And he works for like Capital One or something. And he, we don't get to see each other in person very often, but when we do, it's like we saw each other yesterday, you know, and we talk all the time on, and then some of my friends are in the same world as me, so they get it. Some of them are in entertainment. And I just love bringing, my friend group is very eclectic. Like it's like all different types of people. And I love putting people that wouldn't normally be in a room together in a room to see what happens.
What's the randomest too? Is it the person building rocket ships and then your mom and then SZA?
It's just like people, you know, it's very common for me to go out to dinner and have like one person be 22 and then the next person be like 70.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not, awesome. And having it not be someone's mom or dad, yeah. like having it just be someone that's my friend.
Yeah.
You know, and because I've met so many, I'm very interested in people and I love meeting creative people, whether that means they're creative professionally, whether creative in their mind, whether they, you know.
Yeah.
I love that feeling of getting into a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Like
I also think multi-generational friendships are so powerful. Like I was talking to someone about that. Like me and my wife have a couple friend of ours and they're in their late 60s. And they're some of our favorite people to hang out with. Yeah. Like, I feel like I learn so much, I grow so much, I gain so much perspective. They've lived 30 years more life than I have. Yeah. Like, and I think it's so interesting how we may spend time with our parents, but we're not necessarily having friends that are in a different decade of their life.
Yeah.
But how powerful it can be to be with someone.
A lot of people don't even know their parents like that. Yeah. Like, even if you're like close with your parents, like how close are you with your mom?
I'm pretty close with my mom, yeah.
Okay, but like, you don't know. There's so many things you don't know about her. Like, you don't know, like how she felt the first time she got her heart broken.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, if she ever cheated on someone. Like, you don't, yeah. like, sometimes I'll sit my mom down and I just ask her, like, I'm like, what drugs have you taken?
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did it make you feel? Because my parents got divorced. I was like, how did you know you wanted to get divorced? What did you feel? And I try to do that because one of my friends started recording his dad when his dad got sick. And he asked him every question he ever wanted to ask him. Because it is so crazy. You're so close to this person that you really don't know. Like, you really, like, we really don't even know our parents that well. Mm-hmm. Because you don't ask them those type of things. And no one does. Like, and it's also that time where I remember, like, your parents' gospel is just like the end all be all when you're a kid, and then all of a sudden you're like 15 or 16, you're like, wait, you're just a human, that was a mess up on you, you just lied, like I caught you in that lie. But like until you're like 15 or 16 or something, you can't even fathom that. And then like you realize it's cool. I'm so thankful that I get to, like, you know, talk to my parents and my family now, like as an adult, and be like, yo, what were you feeling like when you went through this? And like, how did you raise us like that? And is it so hard to do this? And it's cool. I like that feeling.
Yeah, I did something similar a few years ago. I felt that way with the podcast where I was like learning about people I'd never met. And so we were celebrating my sister's 30th birthday. So it was me, my mom, and my sister, my younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started interviewing my mom at dinner. And there was no, we didn't record it.
Yeah.
It was just us three. And I learned so much. So my mom was studying for her exams because she was born and raised in Yemen, while there were Yemeni soldiers fighting British soldiers on her roof.
That's
like,
great.
You know, and I was like, I had no idea. And she just casually drops that as if it's like normal. And I'm like, Mom, you realize that's not normal. Like,
you should interview your mom. You need to interview.
I've been thinking about it. It's been on my mind.
Interviewing your family is so crazy.
Yeah, because you're right. I think everyone, I would love to do it because I want everyone to do it. My wife was my first ever guest on the show.
Really?
Yeah, because that was a big part of it for me. It was like, I feel like you're so right. We don't really deeply know our family. We think we know them.
Yeah.
We think we know them. We assume that we know them.
Yeah, I used to do this thing on my, I still do it on all of my albums where like the last song on my album has like a spoken word section of, it's like over instrumental of each person in my family.
Mm.
And so far I did my mom and my dad, and I asked them all these questions.
Wow.
And it's crazy to know that, because I basically asked them questions for like an hour, and then I take like the best like 30 seconds. And it was, both my parents wound up talking the most about like their divorce. And it was like so interesting to see both sides of it, because I have now forever in time, I have my mom's version and my dad's version. And then like, I just, you know, I'm putting out a new album and I interview my brother for his version of it now. And it's like,
that's beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's
fun.
That's
really special.
It's fun. And it's like, you know, it's emotional, and it's like, whoa, it's cool to hear both sides of everyone's side of an event.
What did you, yeah, I think you're so right because, yeah, we often think there's only one truth and one story and then all of a sudden there's three. And what was the biggest thing you learned from hearing your mom and dad's version of divorce? Like what was something that surprised you or something you were like, wow, I did not recognize that when I was growing up?
I think that it made them both better people to get out of the relationship. And I think like at first it seemed like my parents were not fans of each other at first. It was like crazy, but now they're friends. I mean, they haven't been married for, you know, 20 something years, but yeah, now we all like go to dinner together and like go on vacation. But you know, it wasn't always that way. And it's cool to see like where it started to where it is now. And I do think like me and my brother, like were a big, like our success was like a big catalyst on getting like everyone together. Cause it forced us to get together. And then it's cool. I don't know. Yo, life is so crazy. Like the way, you know, the way you meet people and the way people come in and out of your life and someone you may not even like really know could become like your wife or someone like that's like you despise could become your best friend. And it's just, it's very interesting how life plays out. Yeah. And I find that more and more as I get older. And my mom always used to be like, she'd be like, you know, when you get older, you're going to, and I used to be like, what are you talking? But it's so true. Just like over and over again, I'm learning something new every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So true, man. Benny, I could talk to you for hours, genuinely. Like we could go on and on and on, but I wanted to make sure, is there anything that we haven't talked about before we go to the final five, which is the way we end any interviews? Is there anything we haven't talked about that you really wanted to touch on that's on your heart or mind or something that...
What's your five thing? What's that?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll start with that. It's a final five that we end every interview with of all time.
Oh, it's the same question?
It's the same. Well, same four questions. One of them I usually play with. Same three or four questions.
Oh, okay.
And one of them I usually play with for the person. And these are your final five. They have to be answered in one word to one sentence maximum.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I may ask you to go on because I usually break my rule.
But okay.
Here we go. All right. Benny Blanco, these are your final five. So the first question is, what is the best advice you've ever heard or received?
Don't be afraid to fail.
Who told you it and how have you practiced it?
I can't remember who told me it.
But someone did tell you it.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that came
from. No. Somebody told me it. But I will tell you this. I always say this to someone because people come up to me all the time and they're just like, oh man, you don't miss. You did this. You did that. Yeah. And I'll talk to someone. You know, one of my friends was going through a hard time recently. It was like his first failures. And I remember talking to him and I said, you don't think I've failed a million times? I said, you look at someone like Michael Jordan, okay? He's taken like so many shots. He's missed so many shots. Do you remember any of those? No. You remember him swishing it and walking back with his tongue out. Nobody's sitting there being like, Jay, I saw that, you know, back in like 2008, that rap career didn't really work out for you. No, they're like, Jay, wow, you got Michelle Obama on you. So I always tell people, like, It doesn't matter. Don't be afraid to fail. Nobody's even going to remember it. There's only, and if someone's literally tallying your failures, they're psycho, you know?
Well said, man. Yeah. No one remembers the misses.
No.
No one remembers the misses. If you keep going.
Yeah, if you keep going.
But if you stop at the miss.
But you got to keep going,
yeah,
baby.
You got to keep going. Question number two, what is the worst advice you've ever heard or received?
I was going around playing my music for people and I had just switched my style up. Because I originally made music that sounded like I was copying Timbaland, sounded like I was copying Pharrell, sounded like I was trying to be someone else. Mm. And I remember I had just made music that didn't sound like anything. Mm. It sounded so weird. It was so different. Wasn't like what was going on. I remember I went into a meeting and someone was like, nobody makes music like this. They're like, you gotta fit in more. Like, and that just like made me go the opposite way. Then I was like, now I know I got to do the crazy stuff because at least I just want someone, when I used to go in and play music, for them to be like, I've never heard anything like this. Like, this is so weird. This is not going to work. Because that's when everyone likes something, usually, that means it's not going to work. You know, when some people are unsure about something, that's when it's usually going to work. So I don't know. Someone told me to fit in more, and I didn't really vibe with that.
That's a great answer. I think it's so interesting. When you're young, everyone tells you to fit in. And when you get older, everyone says stand out.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. I had to wear uniform. Coming on time. And now all of a sudden, I've got to find who I am.
Yeah.
And it's such a contradiction.
Of course.
Yeah, so great answer. All right. Question number three. What's something that you used to value that you no longer value?
Success. I used to really care about getting that number one song, getting that thing. And I feel like I did everything I wanted to do.
Mm.
Like, and now I feel like everything's like the cherry on top of the sundae now. Mm. So I'm just having so much fun trying new things. And of course I want them to be successful and stuff, but like, I do still like work and have a drive and want to do it, but I want to do it more for me and less for like other people. I used to want to do it because I was like, I have to be number one. I have to be the best in the world. I have to be this. And now I just get to wake up and I'm like, okay, I already did the things I want to do. So like, I want to make a cookbook. I want to do it. I want to do this. And I like really want it to be the best and I want it to be awesome, but it's something that I want to do. And I'm putting like that pressure on myself. It's not like for other people anymore. And yeah, I think, I don't know. I always had a strange feeling with success too. I was always like kind of like ashamed of it for some reason. Mm. Or I'd be like, oh, I don't deserve that. I'm probably gonna get like cancer now because like I did well.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah,
I don't deserve this, and like somebody else deserves this more. And like,
how did you overcome that doubt? Because I think a lot of people feel that way. People are coming to money, fame, even a bit of success, and we start going, oh crap, this wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, like, it's still there for me. That part, I still have that feeling a little bit of the imposter syndrome, but it's so funny because I'm so confident at the same time. But you know, sometimes I do have that feeling where I'm just like, why do I deserve this? Like, what did I do? And like, there's so many more people who are more talented than, and I'll like start questioning stuff like that in my head.
Yeah, and you're still working through that.
Every day we're working through everything. And the success thing, like, it's not fully let go, but it's like, it's something that like, I catch myself more and more like just really wanting to do the things because like, it's not a competition always anymore. And it used to be like such a competition with me in my head.
Yeah.
With that. And I try to find like other things that are competitions and like competitions like that are like friendly and there's not like a huge thing at the end of the tunnel for it.
Mm, beautiful. Question number four, what's something that you think you learned from your parents' relationship that affects your relationships moving forwards? Like something that you'll take as a lesson on what to do or what not to do?
I don't think my parents listen to each other. And I think all relationships, whether it's romantic, business, friendships, you just have to listen to each other. It's like the easiest thing in the world. Just be a listener, and it's okay to be wrong. That's also another thing that like I've really come to terms with. Like, it's like I always would find myself like wanting to be right about the thing, wanting to be this, and it almost makes you look better if you're like, you know what, I was wrong. And stop trying to like defend a thing to the end that you know you're wrong about. So it's like, I was wrong. And then like, everyone's happy if you just say, if you're like, I was wrong, I messed up. Mm. I messed up. Instead of like trying, it's like putting shame around being wrong. And it's okay to be wrong. Like, it's okay to fuck up sometimes. Like, you know.
I think that's great. Listen, and it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah, it's okay to be wrong.
Fifth and final question, Benny. We ask this to every guest who's ever been on the show. If you could create one law that everyone in the world had to follow, what would it be?
You know, I wish there was a world where just everyone could find a way to just like fit in and just like not be it's okay to get upset sometimes. I just wish people could talk things out and find a way to like love each other and find, I don't know, find a way to like live together. You know, it just like killed me. Like anytime, it's so hard for me to ever watch any of the news. And it's just like, oh, I'm like, it just like crushes me watching people fight and people like violence. And it's like crazy. Like, I don't understand. I just like don't even understand. I don't know people, you know, to like, for someone to do something so bad to like an innocent person. Like anytime I see things like that, I just don't understand. And I, you know, I, in my ideal world, there's, I don't even know if it's a law. I don't, people just be nice to each other and just be like caring and considerate and understand that it's okay to not be the same as somebody else. And it's okay to not have the exact same opinion as somebody else, but you guys can coexist and live. And just like, I don't know. It's like I always have these like idealistic thoughts in my head, and it's very hard to create those because we're so far gone as a planet. You know, there's like so much greed and there's so much, I don't know. I've always been like just like happy, whether it was like I had a lot of money or no money. And I've always found that when me and my friends listen to each other and work together and talk things out, like every, like nothing can go wrong. And if it can go, if it does go wrong, then you talk about it and you make it better. And I don't know, what's the best law you heard someone say?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a lot of people share the sentiment that you're saying. Like, I think a lot of us feel like that. Like, we want to live in a more just, happier, loving kind of world. I think two that stand out to me, Daniel Kaluuya came on. He's the guy. So Daniel came on and he said that for everyone that you judged or criticized, the law would be that you'd have to then, whoever you judge and criticize, you'd have to go live as them for a day or a year or something like that.
Ooh, I like
it was
that
something,
one.
It was like a, it was like a fixed thing. And then Trevor Noah had one. His one was, there'd be a rule that every day someone's bank balance in the planet could go to zero. So it could be you, your friend, your family member, and how differently you'd behave with people, knowing that that could be you one day. It could be your mom, it could be your dad, it could be a friend. And that way you'd be more conscious of what it would feel like to be around people who don't have a lot.
Yeah, I changed mine. Free weed for everyone.
That's the law.
Yeah. That's my new one.
Yeah.
No, that's great. That's a good one. Yeah. Those are good.
Is weed and unlocks your creativity? Does it make you anxious? As you were mentioning for other people earlier,
like I love smoking weed.
Yeah,
you are you allowed to? No, you're not.
I don't.
You don't do anything.
Not that I'm not allowed to.
You don't do anything. Nah. You ever have a sip of alcohol?
No, nah, not anymore.
When did you quit? When you were a monk?
15 years ago. Yeah, 15, 16 years.
What do you do? What's your wild thing?
My wild thing is
strippers. I know. No, I'm just kidding. No, what is it?
I'm a super. I guess my wildness comes. I'm super competitive. So if I'm playing a sport that I'm good at,
what's your vice?
My vice is sugar, man. It's like it's taking me forever. Yeah, literally.
Sugar?
I'm like, yeah.
That's your vice.
My vice is sugar. My vice is I like to work hard. My vice is.
So, but you don't have anything. So you don't
it's not that I don't have anything. It's I've worked on it hard.
For years and years. So no drinking, no weed, no psychedelics, no.
Oh. No, I saw
your eye glimmer a little.
I'm always open to exploring anything that would, I mean, weed was something that I did a lot in my teens. So it's not something I've never done.
I want to know the teen you was wild.
Yeah, the teen you was wild. I think that's what it is. Like growing up in London too, like you start drinking very early.
Of course.
You start playing around with drugs and stuff very early. And so we just had access to a lot of things. So I feel like it's not that I don't, it's that I've done a lot in my teens.
Of course.
And so it's not that I have I have nothing against it. I think I'm always open to things that have medicinal or healing benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've always been open. A lot of my clients will do MDMA, do Iboga, do ayahuasca.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm very familiar with these things and I'm always working alongside clinical neuroscientists that I take advice from for my clients and clients' own exploration. So I'm very aware and like to be educated more and get more experience, but I would do it if I felt there was healing that could reward me with, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm very open to anything that has healing powers.
You take any supplements?
I take a lot. I take 20 supplements a day.
All right, tell me about the supplements.
Yeah, so I'm taking, I'll show you my drawer later. It's like literally 20 tablets a day, but it's like B12, magnesium, D, C, K, probiotics, gut supplements, creatine, like a million.
Why do you take them all?
Because I really do feel a difference.
Why do you take creatine? That's like from the 80s.
Yeah, but it works. It's like, so what's really interesting is that I work with, we've had the doctor that I work with on the show. His name is Dr. Shah. He runs Next Health.
Okay.
And Next Health basically will do the deepest blood tests and give you like.
Oh yeah. You do that thing where you have like a bowl of pills you got to take. It's like a packet every
day. Yeah. And you get all your biomarkers. So you get everything. And what I found is that different body types can't digest certain things. Like my body can't get the nutrients from certain things. So I have to eat different proteins. I'm also plant-based. So supplements provide me with all the missing nutrients. So
were you feeling bad before you did this?
I was feeling, when I wasn't taking all the supplements, I was feeling more tired more easily.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, why am I tired? Because I work out, I sleep well, I meditate. Yeah. Like, why am I tired?
What type of tired?
Just like a feeling of like lethargy or fatigue at the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
But like a tired that I didn't like. Yeah. And I realized that, so vitamin D is meant to be at 60 is safe, 100 is ideal. I was at 10.
Mm.
And people always say, well, you live in LA, you get enough vitamin D. It's not true. Like, you've got to be out in the sun naked, like for 4 hours a day to get enough vitamin D, especially with my color of skin. And so for me to take vitamin D is non-negotiable. And for most people are low in vitamin D. And so my doctors, my nutrition was saying, Jay, your vitamin D levels means you should be depressed. I was like, I don't feel depressed. I'm just tired. And she was just like, well, you know, if you change that, it will make a massive difference. And it did.
Wow.
And so I think a lot of people, a lot of the times we think we're struggling mentally, but a lot of it's chemical and biological and physical. What you're saying with working out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a physical shift that's changed your mindset. Yeah. And we can get in our head and get, oh God, why am I tired? There's something wrong with me. Like, maybe I'm stressed. And it can be that.
Yeah.
Of course it can be that. But sometimes it's chemical and physical. So
you take 20 supplements.
I'll show you. Yeah. I'll show you my little pill drawer.
What, do you do any other things?
No, that's
it. Do you drink any other tinctures through the day that you have to?
No. Well, creatine is, I have to mix it in and then.
But why do they have you do creatine?
That's for me to digest a particular nutrient for my digestion to be good. I also take.
Do you have trouble? You have bad stomach?
Not a bad stomach. I think that when I went completely plant-based, which I always tell people if they're making that transition, I always tell people to do it slowly. I kind of did it overnight.
When?
8 years ago when I married my wife, I was vegetarian, but I became plant-based as soon as I married her. And I think that my gut reacted poorly to that quick transition. And so whenever anyone's talking about being plant-based or eating healthier, I'm always like, do it slowly because your body's just used to a habit, whether it's good or bad. And now I feel great, but it was a transitionary period for sure. So I do that. And then I have vinegar before meals because that regulates the acid internally. So that's like mix a shot of vinegar with diluted in water.
Do you take like a lot of protein a day?
Yeah, I take a lot of protein, but a lot of protein meals, but like natural forms of as much as I can.
Wow, what's your natural protein?
Well, like I'm doing a lot of lentils and dals. Like the Indian diet generally leads well to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I will do things like tofu, which of course, you know, and then not so natural forms of protein as well.
I found
these amazing bagels that are protein filled, that are plant-based. Yeah. They're amazing. Yeah. So things like that, just to stock up. But I found that eating protein every day has made a big difference. The amount of protein that we don't have in our diets is insane.
Yeah,
and I'm not a pro at this. We've had doctors who've come on the show and educated people.
Yeah, you're supposed to eat a gram of protein per a pound.
Yeah. And you realize you're like nowhere close. Like even if you're eating meat, it's hard.
So
what to speak of anyone who's plant-based. Benny, this has been a joy and honor. I hope we do a part two.
I love it.
I hope there's dinners. I hope there's so much more in the works with this
I can't wait.
Relationship. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Like, you took us on a whole journey today and I felt like we got a peek into your mind, which is always my favorite thing to do.
Thanks.
I want everyone to know Open Wide is available right now. So make sure you go grab it. We'll put the link in the caption, in the comments, and wherever you're viewing. Of course, if you don't follow Benny on social media already, please go and follow him across platforms. And Benny, thank you so much for showing up for On Purpose today. So grateful and Deeply appreciated, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you. If this is the year that you're trying to get creative, you're trying to build more, I need you to listen to this episode with Rick Rubin on how to break into your most creative self, how to use unconventional methods that lead to success, and the secret to genuinely loving what you do. If you're trying to find your passion and your lane, Rick Rubin's episode is the one for you.
Just because I like it, that doesn't give it any value. Like, as an artist, if you like it, that's all of the value. That's the success comes when you say, I like this enough for other people to see it.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At one of the most famous restaurants in the world, there's a table in the corner where the most incredible conversations on the planet are happening every week, with owner Ruthie Rogers and amazing guests like Martha Stewart.
But I did have an affair with one of his best friends.
Jimmy Fallon.
Do you want a zip line over your dad while he gets attacked by alligators?
And Paul McCartney.
John and I hitchhiked to Paris.
We've saved you a seat. Ruthie's Table 4. Listen to Ruthie's Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.